Last Word on Today FM.
Rowan McDermott, movies editor of Hot Press. There are so many Bridget Jones fans out there who have been over the last couple of decades. The fourth movie in the series with Renée Zellweger, what's it like?
It's actually lovely. I'm not going to lie, my hopes were not high. The Edge of Reason was kind of pretty terrible, we have to admit. But what I love about what they're doing in the Bridget Jones franchise is it reminds me of Richard Linklater's trilogy Before Sunrise. And they had Before Sunrise, then 9 years later we had Before Sunset, 9 years later we had Before Midnight. And what was so beautiful about that trilogy is that you got to age with the couple on screen. So a lot of people came to the movies when they were in their 20s, then came back when they were in their 30s, and you get to see these characters mature over time. And I feel that's what they're doing with Bridget Jones. They're allowing Bridget to grow up and mature with her audience. And the tone of the movies is getting more mature and more insightful. It's still really warm. It's still really funny. Bridget is still clumsy and somewhat ridiculous. But she's grappling with real life things. She's aging. Her beloved Mr. Darcy has died 4 years ago. So she's raising her son on her own. And you can see the grief that has affected her. And she's kind of shrunk into herself. She's kind of abandoned her broadcasting jobs and her broadcast journalism jobs and is really focusing on life with her son. And this is about her learning to move out of that space of grief and shrinking and learning to open up to the world a little bit again. So grappling with real emotion, but with a warmth and a tenderness and a humour that we would expect from Bridget.
Let's hear a scene from the movie.
Everything all right, Mrs. Darcy?
Yep, super. Just climbing a tree.
I can see that. Having fun?
Yes, it was really fun.
You sure you don't need a hand?
No, no. As Einstein said, what goes up must come down.
Newton.
Yes, Newton.
We're going to die.
No, we're not going to die. We're having fun.
We are definitely going to die.
Clearly you've got this nicely in hand.
Look, there's a policeman.
Oh my God, I've climbed a magical man tree.
What's with the accent?
It's gotten posher over time. I don't know why Bridget has gone suddenly upward mobile, but there is a bit of lifestyle porn happening in these movies. All the interiors are beautiful, as a very Nancy Myers. Everyone has gorgeous kitchens and is doing very well.
Yeah, she's no money troubles, clearly.
No money troubles. Someone who left journalism with no money troubles. I'm suspicious. That's what the Mark Darcy inheritance is, I guess. But what's lovely about the movie is that Bridget, she struggles with things like Tinder, and she grapples with the idea of getting lip fillers and is ordering weird beauty things on the internet. And then she meets a young man played by Leo Woodall, and they strike up this very brief kind of dalliance, which isn't about her finding love and a lasting relationship with a younger man, but it's about her grappling with the idea of, yes, I am desirable and I have things to offer the world and the world has love to offer me. And actually what becomes the heart of the film is this burgeoning relationship between her and her son's science teacher, played beautifully by Chiwetel Ejiofor, who brings kind of the same energy that Mark Darcy and Bridget had, where he's a little bit buttoned up and she loosens them up and he brings depth, and it's gorgeous energy and just really good fun.
Listener says, as a woman, Bridget Jones is complete cringe. Her character is pathetic and desperate and not a good representation of women as a whole, and how they are desperate for particular men.
Well, I will agree. The first movie, I think, gave so many women body issues because Bridget Jones being held up as kind of pop culture's fat girl for a long time was horrendous because Renée Zellweger was so skinny and so slim. So I think aspects of that have not aged well, but I think the films are maturing. And this film in particular, it's really not about Bridget needing a man. It's about her feeling able to welcome joy into her life. And we've seen that she is an independent woman. She has survived without Mark Darcy. And so it's not about her being desperate for love anymore. It's about her making space for it beside her as an equal partner. So they have matured.
Okay. Captain America, Brave New World. Is this a bit like James Bond, that the title of Captain America moves from actor to actor?
It'll just keep going forever. Yeah, this is... So Anthony Mackie is taking over the role of Captain America. And we knew this at the end of Avengers Endgame, that the mantle was going to be passed. And in this movie, Sam finds himself in the middle of this international incident after a meeting with President Thaddeus Ross, played by Harrison Ford, and he has to discover the reason behind this nefarious global plot before the true mastermind has the entire world seen red. Now, didn't get to see this. Marvel are screening things very... Disney Marvel are screening things very late these days. They don't need critics. Marvel fans will turn up. I am curious to see how this does. Early reviews from American critics who've seen it have said it's fine. It's middling. It's a little bit safe. But I think what's going to be interesting is two things. One is the fact that since the Marvel, the Avengers kind of main thread ended, we have been saturated with extra Marvel material from all the TV shows. And it's begun to feel a little bit like homework, where you have to have watched one series to understand the other. And I feel like there is a bit of Marvel fatigue happening. The other thing is, unfortunately, we live in the world of Trump's America now. And canonically, comic book fans have never taken too kindly when a previously white male character has been replaced either with a person of colour or with a woman. And so I wonder if audience numbers are going to be decreased just because, you know, this is the world where people complain about Kendrick Lamar playing at the Super Bowl. So I hope audiences turn out. I love Anthony Mackie in supporting roles. Whether he has the charisma to pull off main character, we will see.
Talking of Trump's world, what do you make of Disney ditching the so-called woke warnings?
It's all happening very fast. The fact that, you know, DEI things have been scrapped and this is already affecting huge companies is really disappointing. And I think I really liked Disney's approach before, because they had titles on older films like Peter Pan, like Dumbo, that had negative stereotypes or and depictions or mistreatment of people of different cultures. And they used to have a note saying, this program is presented as originally created and may contain stereotypes. Or no, that's the new one. Sorry, they said these stereotypes were wrong then and they're wrong now, but we're going to leave it in to be honest about the history and representation. And now this has been flattened. They're no longer playing these messages at the starts of films. There's going to be a much broader one in the kind of details part of your streaming. So it's bringing these in. It's all happening really quickly. And I think what's disappointing is that I feel like Disney was grappling with how they had contributed to a culture of, you know, racism and stereotypes, and said, we're going to address this. We're not deleting our history. We're not whitewashing it. We're not pretending we didn't do this. We're adding context in a very gentle way. And now that they're removing this, I think it just paves the way for overlooking all of this racist history that we're still grappling with. Unfortunately, it seems like it's going to get worse before it gets better.
And how is Netflix handling its Oscar nominated movie Emilia Perez, and particularly its star Carla Sofia Gascon?
It's kind of fascinating. I've never seen an Oscar campaign that was on such a good trajectory just disappear so quickly, because Carla Gascon played the lead role in Emilia Perez. I will say, Emilia Perez, the songs in it are good fun. It has a great energy. Zoe Saldana is brilliant in it. It's a very silly film. The representations of trans people is pretty grim. For a film that's about Mexican crime and that's based in Mexico, there is not a single Mexican person working on the movie. So there were issues immediately, and I think people in the LGBTQ community pointed this out. A lot of Mexican people pointed this out. So it felt like a movie that was designed for Oscar baity, for a white audience. So I don't know if the energy that was behind the campaign would have sustained. But then, of course, all of these hideous, racist, Islamophobic tweets were uncovered by the lead, from the lead actress, that were only up till last year. These were not kind of buried deep in her past. I don't know why her social media wasn't vetted, but Netflix has completely distanced themselves from her. They haven't issued a statement, but she was due to do all the publicity rounds, all the round tables. They're no longer paying for her outfit for the red carpet, so she'll be turning up at the Oscars, I presume, but she will be doing it on her own dime, and she's not getting any support, and she's no longer being invited to a lot of the press events.
And she's not going to win either, is she?
They're going very silent.
But will the movie win awards still?
I think what's really disappointing, Zoe Saldana has issued a statement. She didn't name her co-star, but she did say, I really stand against any kind of bigotry, and I think it's really disappointing, but we are where we are. And I think it's really disappointing for her, because I think she was in with a good shot, mightn't have won, but I think it will definitely take the wind out of the sails of the entire campaign, which is disappointing for people who didn't issue bigoted tweets, but ultimately the film mightn't have deserved it anyway.
Ro McDermott, movie critic from Hot Press, thank you.
The Last Word on Today FM.